Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240WGBB.com. And Dave's got guests on this February 23rd, and really special and appropriate guest for this date. He's been on the show a couple of times, and I'm always thrilled and proud to have him on, not the least of which reason is because he is my dad. His name is Philip Lefkowitz, and he's celebrating a birthday today. How many is it, Dad?
You really want to ask that question, you?
You're not a woman. You can answer it.
Okay, 67.
Oh, mazel tov, mazel tov.
Thank
happy.
You.
How do you feel? Do you feel like a 67-year-old? Do you feel like a 50, 47?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I mean, I'm sure Mom will say you behave like a 17. Oh. 97, really?
No. No, thanks to your mother, I feel like a colt.
Like a cult?
Yes, a young cult.
Oh, cult. Okay, I was wondering about
C-O-L-T.
That. Yeah, I miss that. So you're not the glue factory yet, okay. And
why, you got plans?
well, here's a question for you then. Why are you feeling so well? I mean, that's kind of an obvious lead-in, but how you doing on the whole weight thing and all that?
Uh-huh. Well, actually, I talked about my weight loss the last time we spoke,
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy to report that at the moment, my weight loss is about 80 pounds, maybe 81.
So at your highest, you were 270 or 2?
Yep, believe it or not, that was the wake-up call. That was the shock-a-rooty.
And now you're at roughly...
Well... 189. Of course, that's with everything off, everything out. That's with
eating
out the belly button.
I mean, you're not even soaking wet at that weight. You're like dry as a bone and bald.
Oh!
With your eyebrow shape.
That's a low shot.
but it's, yeah, you went under 190. I can't believe that.
Yeah, how about that?
Pretty staggering.
Well, now Imar, Brenda, doesn't want me to lose any more. I mean, she didn't want me under 190. Or even the doctor
even
said
under 200.
Not,
yeah, yeah.
Not under 190. Well, the doctor said under 200, not under 200. But, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I keep losing.
Yeah, and you it's not like you're weak all the time. You don't feel...
No, I feel better than ever.
This is wonderful. This is good news.
Other than not being able to walk too well.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not particularly ambulatory, which was the surprise of you're losing all that weight when you weren't going for
but
a jog twice.
It's a lot easier to get around at this weight than it was at my height.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And how's your chair been working? Did they fix that?
Yes, they fixed it, and it's really a pleasure.
This is what, the Rascal? Which is it? No, it's,
no,
not,
no,
no.
This is it's Qtronics. It's a wheelchair, a motorized wheelchair, and it really is a marvelous invention.
Cool. Yeah, there's this weird thing, I don't know if you read about it today in the news, at Disneyland or Disney World, where they have this scooter for people who do have trouble getting around, but they can stand up, and they're not allowed to, I forget what it's called, but they're not allowed to ride it in Disneyland because it's not FDA approved or something.
Uh-huh.
And meanwhile, thousands and thousands of people are using this thing because it's not like a wheelchair. They're standing up. It's more like a little moped go-kart thing. And
great idea.
It's for people who are half ambulatory, half not, and they're really PO'd at Disneyland World / Disney Corps, Time, AOL, whatever, for not allowing them to use the machine on Disney premises.
Hmm.
So we'll see how that works out.
That's unusual.
Anyway, and one of the things I know I can count on you for, especially on this radio program, are stories of your life and your 67 years of existence on this planet. On another program, we talked about sort of my birth and my history there, and then your romance and history of Mom and living in Brooklyn. Today, let's look at the military years, because you seem to get a lot of stories and mileage out of that. So you were in the Air Force.
Right.
And you were there in the force and then on the reserves, right, for...
5.5 years on reserve.
Yeah.
And 6 months active.
Only 6 months active, but reserve meant you were every other weekend?
No, it was one weekend a month.
Oh. So, but
so it was a Saturday and Sunday, mm-hmm. once a month.
Well, that's not so bad. And it was only 6 months of real, you know,
active duty.
Active
However,
duty. Yeah.
You do have to remember at that time I was working nights.
Wow.
And the job I was working required considerable overtime. And there were nights when I would go to work at 5 p.m., finish up at 1 in the morning, and then be begged to stay for overtime. And we wouldn't finish working until 7 in the morning. Get home, I'd get home about, let's say, 7:30 because I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then just shower, put on a uniform, and out to the base.
Oh, wow.
So I'd sit there all day Saturday at the desk trying to type stuff. And as I'm sitting there, I'm falling asleep. Mm-hmm. And I'd catch myself as I'm about to slide to the floor. then Saturday afternoon, I'd leave there,
mm-hmm.
get home, and just collapse until Sunday morning.
And then you had to go back.
And then Sunday I went back, but it wasn't so bad because I wasn't up all night the night before.
And that, but and again, you would only have to do that part, though, once a month.
Once a month. One weekend a month.
For 5 years.
I'm sorry?
But for 5 years.
5.5 years, yes.
So some stories coming out of that experience. And it was in Texas. Or no. The active duty was in Texas, and then the reserves were in what, Jersey?
The reserve unit that I joined originally started out at Washington Street,
mm-hmm.
in Manhattan.
Oh.
And for whatever reason, they moved to, a first move was to not Floyd Bennett.
Right, no.
No. It was very close by. It might have been Floyd Bennett.
Okay.
And then they closed that facility. And then they moved us out to Mitchell Field.
Ah, Mitchell, okay, yeah.
In Long Island. You know, this is over a matter of years.
Right.
So whereas I started out in New York City, we moved to Brooklyn, and then we moved to the island.
Which is almost sort of the story of your life paralleling.
Yeah, that's right,
yeah.
Except that they made further moves after I left the unit. They wound up, I think, out at McGuire in Jersey.
You were well out of it by that time.
Oh, my.
So
and every year, mm-hmm. we were threatened in the sense of being called up and being sent to whatever the current crisis called for. And believe me, there was a crisis every year that I was in the reserves.
But so that's what reserves really is, because I would figure you were only on the bubble during that 6 months of active duty. But they can, when you're in reserves,
no.
They can...
When you're in the active reserve?
Yeah.
Oh, they can call you up and send you anywhere.
Wow, you got lucky. You were doing
that
for
5... You're not kidding. I was right in between the various hostilities.
Well, it was between Korea and Vietnam.
Right.
But thankfully, that somehow...
And just in time on Vietnam, I mean... Right after I got my discharge, boy, it really got hot over there. I mean, I feel bad. I don't want to feel like I didn't do my duty, but thank God.
You did your duty. No question about that. I mean, was your choice, see, I'm trying to understand this, was your choice doing 2 years of active duty or 6 months and then 5 years?
Well, not if you wanted to be in the Air Force. If you wanted to be in the Air Force, it was 4 years of active duty.
Ouch. Or 6 months and then 5 years of reserves.
5.5 years of reserve, right, for a total 6-year commitment.
Wow.
And in the Air National Guard at that time, it was an 8-year commitment.
But you had no choice on that. I mean, you were still
drafted.
Well,
you had to do something.
Yeah. Whereas the Army would have been what? If you had gone to the...
2 years.
I see. So if you opted for the Air Force, it was 4 years instead of two?
Oh, yeah, if you enlisted in the Air Force, then,
yeah.
4-year active duty.
I thought it was all the same. No. And the Navy also?
Navy, I'm not familiar with. I really don't know. But I remember when I first got to Wright-Patterson, which was a lovely base, very nice base. Facilities were unbelievable. I mean, we started off at Lackland with basic training,
right.
Which everybody has to go through basic. And that was not a pleasant station.
Right.
Not a good place to be. People don't exactly treat you like royalty.
Well, no, certainly not. Yeah.
But when we got to Ohio, and I arrived at Wright-Patterson, and then the first place they put us was in the Visiting Airmen Quarters, it was called.
Hmm.
Well, it was a shack right out at Tobacco Road. I mean, it was so bad, they didn't even inspect. I don't blame them for not wanting to get near that place. It was a horror.
So how did...
But you're only there for a week or two while they make room for you in the permanent party barracks. So when they finally got a spot for me in the permanent party barracks, which, let me describe them to you, there was a cinder block as opposed to the shack that we were in.
Yeah.
This was now a new cinder block building.
Mm.
Linoleum floors buffed to a mirror finish.
Right.
We had a color TV. Now, this is back in 1961. We had a color TV in the day room. I thought I had died and gone to heaven.
Well,
the food was fantastic.
All right, yeah.
I mean, we had steak for breakfast once. Of course, there are more generals on Wright-Patterson Air Force Base than there are in any place else in the world. And the mess hall has a kitchen which serves officers and men. The officers go on one side, the men go on the other.
But the kitchen,
but the food comes out of the same kitchen. And I got to tell you, anybody who complains about meals, I give you an idea. Before I was getting out, I'm ready to come home.
Yeah.
And I had put on all this weight.
No one would imagine that. That's really amazing, yeah.
I can't go home looking like this.
Wow.
So I had about a month to go. I started swimming, and I started walking from the barracks to the hospital, which was a walk of about 3 miles.
Right.
And playing ball and what have you, and watching what I ate. Skipping breakfast every day, which is, I know, not a nutritionally sensible idea, but I was desperate.
Yeah, but and breakfast they were serving you, you know, chocolate milk and pancakes. I mean, it was astonishing.
Right, exactly. And, you know, urns of chocolate milk on along the wall, and regular milk, and for dessert. One day they had whipped cream, strawberry shortcake. You take little pieces of cake, put them in a plate, spoon out as much whipped cream as you want, top them off with as many strawberries as you want, and you can keep going back for seconds.
Well, I guess, you know, the Air Force, you sit up in a plane, and it's a different kind of experience from what they're expecting, you know, Army and Marine people to do. I guess that's the reason, or something.
Yeah, well, I had... In an ROTC experience, they had given me an orientation flight in a two-seater jet.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget being plastered against the back of the seat and wondering if I could move my arms. You pull certain forces, G-forces, and it's really something. It's an amazing feeling.
And not one you ever wanted to feel again, apparently.
I can't disagree with you.
So what were some of the people you had, like, directing you and over you and good and bad and stuff like that?
Well, I had a captain who was one hell of a nice guy. He was really a delight. And it was a pleasure serving with him.
Uh-huh.
And... I used to do favors for him. He used to do favors for me. It was really a nice relationship.
We're not talking about sexual favors, are we?
David!
That's my mom screaming in the background. No, well, no, but what is a military favor? I don't understand that.
Well, like, you're allotted so much beer, let's say, at the commissary.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, I'm not a beer drinker, and I never really was. I mean, I can imbibe here and there a sip or a can or two, but I'm not big on it. Well, I would get my allotment and turn it over to him, and he would pick up cigarettes because you were limited to two cartons at a time.
Right.
He would go buy two cartons a month or a week, I forget. Anyway, he'd buy the two cartons and give them to me for your mother, who at that time was a smoker.
Right.
Happily, I'm happy to report that since then she has become smart and does not smoke.
For several years now, yeah.
Yes.
Well, you used to smoke a pipe, too. You gave that up. That
I smoke constantly. And the unfortunate thing is I gave up smoking when I think Grandpa Morris,
my
father-in-law,
right,
got very, very sick. That's when he died, I think. And at that time, I developed pneumonia from working two jobs at that time. And it was really an odd experience because you hear yourself talking. And your mother actually thought that I might die. And thankfully, I didn't really know how sick I was.
And you had given up smoking by then, or was that...
That was the trigger. I gave it up, and then 6 weeks later, when I was cured, the pneumonia was gone, I started to pick up a pipe, and I said, what am I, out of my mind? I just kicked one of the toughest habits in the world. Why am I going to start again?
Very cool. And you didn't really miss it, did you? I mean, maybe once in a blue moon, but not...
Well, especially if somebody in the vicinity was smoking a particularly sweet-smelling pipe or a... I saw a pipe shape that I really liked, and I would miss it then. But that comes and goes, and it passes.
It was not a huge deal. It was cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So, but getting back to the your days... back and both active duty and reserve. Any other cool stories or people?
My buddy Tony and I. Well, we were always seen together. We were frickin' frack. As a matter of fact, the colonel had a nickname for us. He called us the Kosher Nostra.
Kosher Nostra, but of course, Tony is Italian.
Tony's Italian, and I'm Jewish, and I thought it was a very clever name, and it stuck.
But that helped you guys out, I mean, by sticking together.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was the only way to get through an experience like that is just have a very close buddy. I think it's very important. And one day I was always into fishing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
One day I went and I bought some fishing gear, and I couldn't wait to try it out. So we get back to the barracks, and I'm in the parking lot, and I'm trying out this reel, because this is supposed to be really good easy casting.
Uh-huh.
And I'm flicking the rod and casting the line, and people are walking by looking at me like I'm nuts. And telling this story, I think back on it, I don't blame them.
What did they think you were fishing for?
I don't know.
Man. Well, cool. Well, I want to wish you a very, very most happy and joyous birthday.
I do want to add one more thing.
Yeah, sure.
That the first commander that I had when I got into that unit was a general who used to run to Washington all the time, especially when something broke out. And, take my boys, please, take my boys.
And always take these are the guys who I bring to the front line, yeah.
And it looked really bad. So finally, after about 3 years, he gets bumped upstairs. They break our hospital unit down because there were only two places that they could put a unit our size. One was in Texas and one was in Ohio, and they already had staff there. So they broke it down into two squadrons, medical service squadrons, they called. so that they can throw you on a plane easily and, yeah. and move you quickly. And the surgeon who took over the unit, fortunately, was not a gung-ho guy. He didn't want to go either. And that was his when he introduced himself to the troops, he says, "Hey, fellas, I don't want to go any more than you do."
Wow.
So we were awful glad for the change in command, and especially when the general said, "The only thing I regret is not having had the opportunity to lead you on active duty." Come on.
Please. What a more. Is he still, have you heard of him since you left?
No.
Have you checked
no,
on him? Have you
no.
Googled? No. No. Well, have you stalked him with a machete? Or
Well, he did all right by me, actually.
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe he's putting on a big show and really had no intention of sending anybody, so who knows.
To give you an idea, when I was doing my 6 month active duty, and I had a week to go, I had 5.5 months done, and a week to go, and this general comes walking over to me and he says, "Are you one of my boys?" I said, "Well, I'm with the 635th hospital unit." He says, yeah, one of mine. He says, what are you doing? How do you like it? How long are you going to be here?" I said, "Well, actually, I'm due to go home at the end of this week." At the end of this week. He says, "Well, why don't you stay for another week and come home with us?" And I said, "Oh, sure. Yes, sir. Good idea. Oh, my wife has plans."
Because what would have happened?
Well, I don't know what would have happened, but I couldn't wait to get out.
Oh, okay. Oh, in other words, you could have left, and he was asking you, why not?
He was asking you to stay another week.
Yeah.
Which was almost as bad as when I finally got my discharge. And another colonel, well, that was a general. The colonel, a light colonel, said, "You really ought to think about re-enlisting. The advantages." This is after 5.5 years of going to meetings, falling asleep practically, from falling off the chair practically on Saturdays after coming off of work at 7 in the morning.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's their job, is to keep the people in there, or keep good people, but you have to turn around and say, "For why?" and as you said, any time, when you are on, even if you're sitting falling asleep in meetings, one phone call, and you could be on your way to, Swaziland or whatever.
We tried to enlist help in getting me back to re-enlist. He spoke to Tony. And he said, "Oh, tell him, try to get him to re-enlist." He says, because we used to drive together.
Yeah.
He says, you drive in together and all the advantages and tell him about the retirement and this and that and the other thing. And he says, "Okay, I'll talk to him." He gets a hold of me. He grabs my arm, pulls me into the bathroom and says, "Run!"
Well, and I can see him doing that, too. You and Tony have remained friends all these years. It's really a wonderful thing.
Tony
to
who?
Great. Anyway, Dad, Daddy, Papa, I love you.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Thank you.
And many, 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 many more.
God willing.
Hopefully this time next year I'll have you on again as my guest on Dave's Gone By. You'll tell me more stories about other aspects of your life.
Okay.
And stay happy and healthy.
You too. And to my darling daughter-in-law and my grand puppies.
Yes. Love to everyone.
Same here.